The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy. How you doing, Kelly? Good morning, man.
Doing well. Back in action, baby.
Well, let's first thank
Welcome
Matt.
Back to town.
Let's thank Mateo Brown, Matt Brown. I hope everybody got to enjoy Matt. Matt is fantastic, by the way, for those who didn't get the memo. So thrilled that he was able to sit in here for 3 days. I'm sure you guys had a gay old time, a little primetime action reunion.
Mm-hmm. A lot of NFL talk, yep.
A lot of NFL talk. We have a lot of NFL talk today. Eric Eager, Dr. Eric Eager, will be in studio with us today. Hour number one, followed by the crack man, unscripted in studio. Hour number two. So a lot of football talk with Dr. Eager. Nothing but physicians on this show, Kelly. Today, Dr. Eager. Tomorrow, Dr. Bob.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe we'll fix your sciatica.
Both physicians, yes.
Just nothing but physicians on this show. That's what we do. Physicians in sports betting. I want to get to a whole bunch of stuff here, but I went away to join the ATP Tour so I could get some guaranteed money, baseline money. That's a huge seismic shift on the ATP Tour, guaranteeing money for top-ranked players up to the top 250 players in the world. We will not talk U.S. Open today because the draw happens right after this show. So Drew Dinsick and I are going to do a Beating the Book podcast on the U.S. Open later today after the draw is announced. Literally, I think it happens right after we get off the air for the singles, men and women. So we will do that in podcast form later on. I was in D.C. with my mom. I want to check on my mom. Watch little Ravens commandeers with her.
Ooh, big night.
Yeah.
Big night in D.C.
Big night. We've known somebody since he was a little boy. My nephew who was trying to make the Ravens team. So we were watching it together. And my mother, who is, if nothing but consistent, at one point shouts out, "Which outfit is he in, the red one or the black one?" I was like, "Well, there's white. I don't know what you're talking about." This, of course, is a descendant of when she watched it when we went to the Seattle Supersonics Washington Bullets NBA championship in the late 70s. I was a little boy. And she proclaimed very loudly in warmups, "Which side are the Redskins on?" And I wanted to die on the spot. So that hasn't changed. So at that point, I was like, I got to come back. I want to say a few PSAs about sports betting here before we get into, obviously, Shohei news and Trey Lance and Eric Eager and all that stuff that happened, which is a little less sports betting related. First, let's talk real quick about the golf tournament that is about to start a little more than an hour from now. Now, I'm sure you and Matt talked about this because you guys are, if nothing else, golf first. I don't know if you guys know this, but you guys are the host of Long Shots along with Wes Reynolds.
Factual.
Available where all podcasts are distributed.
Yep.
So the Tour Championship is today. It is the third leg of the FedEx Cup. We've talked about this for years on this show. Some of you may remember when I had Brooks Koepka for the FedEx Cup some years back, and then Rory got him like in the back nine, and we made an in-play bet, and it's just a fantastic sort of arc to bet into. But now we're at the third leg of this three-legged FedEx Cup, the Tour Championship, which is, as it has been for years, starts with positions. So Scottie Scheffler's at 10 under, plus 130 is his number at DraftKings. That's to win the Tour Championship. Victor Hovland is two behind him at 8 under. Excuse me, that's to win the FedEx Cup, in other words. Pardon me. Scottie Scheffler's at 10 under, plus 130 to win the FedEx Cup. Victor Hovland starts two strokes behind him at 8 under. He's 5-1 to win it. Rory McIlroy, three strokes back, 7 under at plus 330. Then Rahman Glover at 6 under and 5 under. Glover, unbelievable. And then it's a whole bunch of guys at 4, at 3 under, and so on and so forth. You probably know this format. This year it went 70, 50, and now 30 golfers in this tournament. And the PSA is, once again, I'm sure you and Matt talked about this, but it's worth doing once again an hour before these guys tee off roughly. Just know what you're betting today, because there's going to be two different markets. One is what we just quoted, which is to win the FedEx Cup with a staggered leaderboard start, if you will, where Scheffler is already in the driver's seat, ergo the plus 130, two strokes ahead of the field, Victor Hovland specifically. Don't make the mistake of betting the wrong thing, because there will be another market today that is to bet the Tour Championship. Who will win just the Tour Championship? Who will have the low score in this particular event?
That is the low 72-hole score.
The low 72-hole score, which is different from the FedEx Cup. And so I don't know how you feel, Kelly, but like I would shy away generally from betting the 72-hole event, because if you're at the bottom half of that top of the 30 field, of the 30-player field, the money increments aren't that different. And so you don't know how those players are going to treat it as the tournament goes on. Maybe they'll just go for broke, trying to get way higher. Maybe they won't care at that point. Same thing holds true for Scheffler. If he gets out to a big start, he may just pack it in and chill. And so he won't care about winning the 72-hole tournament. He's just looking for the 15 mil for the FedEx Cup. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I didn't bet anything in the winter without without the starting strokes market, that low 72-hole market. I didn't bet anything there. But to your point, I think the only way you'd be looking there is if you're looking at someone to make a long shot, you know, comeback in this tournament. Anyways, you'd be taking a longer shot price in that market.
Yeah.
But I think it is. Yeah, Matt and I discussed a lot of the monetary stuff is big because you get into that. Like top 10 range, every spot starts changing by like 500K, a mil, as you get up to that, closer to number one. But if you're at the back end of that 30,
not a big difference.
It's like 40K a spot. So,
which is a dime and a nickel for those guys.
Right, exactly. So I think for the way at least I approached this week, it was like stay away from some tournament matchups because you don't know what motivations are going to be different near the end of it. All I did was play... I played two for the top 10 market because that made sense to me at least. Hey, if you're going to be going, you're going to try to get into that top 10 money no matter what. So I did play Russell Henley and Tom Kim at plus 145 and plus 250 respectively in those markets. And then I took Scottie Scheffler at plus 145,
I think. To win the FedEx Cup.
To win the FedEx Cup, win the Tour Championship with the starting strokes.
Okay. So just know what you're betting. That's PSA number one. PSA number two is we're having Dr. Bob on tomorrow. It's his annual college football season win totals appearance. Now, when he released them on Wednesday, these moved so quickly. The juice moved very quickly, not necessarily the games. So a lot of these are going to be out of his range in terms of what he would recommend to play. He'll still come on tomorrow and we'll talk about what's still playable and what's not. So it's always, by the way, of all the things we do yearly, it is the most reliable winner year after year. And I'm not just talking about like squeaking out a win. I'm talking about he'll go 6-0, 6-1, like it's just year after year after year. So we'll talk about that. One of the public service announcement I want to give is while those have moved out of his price range, you can still bet some of those teams that he has season win totals on in week one, specifically markets in terms of the games they played. Those haven't moved. So if you take a Central Michigan, for instance, which just, spoiler alert, that's going to be one of his plays tomorrow. Central Michigan's line was it a 15-point dog? I believe they're playing Michigan State in week one. That hasn't really moved. So there's a different way to play. Even if you shy away from some of the season win totals because you're like, well, I don't want to play it. Bob said it. The price is too far out of whack. I don't want to, you know, lay minus. I'll just make up a number. Minus 210 when it was minus 135, let's say, when he released it at that number. Some of you are still going to play it, I understand. There's still a way to exploit it by playing that specific team in a week one game. So that's PSA number two. PSA number three, and they are playing Michigan State, of course, on September 1st.
15-point. Favorite for Michigan State, 49 or total.
Yeah, that has not moved. Maybe a tick it's moved to 14.5, but still would be playable, you know, as a cousin, as a cousin to that season win total conviction. PSA number three is I went yesterday, I made a whole bunch of NFL bets, which we'll get to later, Kelly, and I did sign up for Circa Survivor and Circa Millions, which of course I do every year. Circa Millions, I just do one. And as I'm giving them my entry fee, I'm like, here you go. Here's my donation.
It will be 1-1 for me this year, Gil. It will be the same thing.
Yeah. Enjoy, Circa. Here's
$2,000.
Here's my $1,000.
I had fun.
So I, you know, it went up from a max six entries in Survivor this year to 10. Last year, I played 5 out of the 6. And this year, I was thinking, I was like, all right, well, it's going to be 10. I'll play somewhere close to 10. Everybody, you know, everybody's going to play 10. And then I started thinking to myself, I was like, but that's never how you viewed this. And I've said this 1,000 times on this show. I believe there's redundancy in Survivor. And I believe those people who have 10 entries versus, let's say, 5 are not going to win based on that. They're going to win based on how they play it anyway. And that there is a useless redundancy at some point in Survivor. Let's say there was a maximum of 50. You can't tell me having 50 versus, 20 is that much better off either. By the way, there's no right answer, I suppose. This is just my humble opinion on this, but I feel strongly that there's definitely a point where it's too many. So I feel like the people who have 8 or 10 are just going to burn them anyway, and we'll be even in entries by the end of September. Or put another way, I don't know that having multiple entries at Thanksgiving is a function of how many you start with. Because if you have 10, what are you doing? Are you going Bob DeLuca, 10 all in? Well, that's not the way to play, right? Or are you going 4-3-3? Well, you're just going to burn more quickly.
Right.
So I ended up with five. Well, I ended up getting five.
Right, for you, you go from 5 to 10. Does that just mean you're going to have double what you would have on one team?
Exactly.
And then they all go down at the same time anyway.
Exactly. So I ended up with five.
I think it's an interesting test case, though, for you this year, right? Yeah. You could maybe keep track
of it. That's right. Talk to me at the end of September, I'm like, well, I should have done 10.
Right, keep track of what would you have done with 10 this week instead of the five that you have, and then you roll into next year a little bit more educated.
So I ended up with five. In Survivor, one in millions. The other thing I want to say is, because we emphasize this every year, they still have that rule week one where you can buy back in after the Thursday night game, right? So you don't have to max entry before Thursday, right? You could play Detroit. They're at Kansas City. If they win, you'll be in an advantageous position. Don't necessarily have to buy in more. And if you lose, it's cool because you can pair it with a KC Moneyline bet, let's say. And just rebuy if you wanted to, especially if, by the way, you like Detroit as a handicap play week one, then it really makes sense. So again, all these just sort of betting and contest betting PSAs just to start the show. We'll get back with Eric Eager on football next. Oh, Trey Lance. Oh, Jonathan Taylor. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Attention BetMGM customers, have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Well, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $100 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Then once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $100 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager settled, you'll receive a $100 bonus as well. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and over to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 30 days. By the way, the bonus expires in 30 days, I should say. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Massachusetts, Mississippi, and Nevada. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jason Stark, Gil is back. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. I appreciate that, Jason. Thank you. Mickey Baca, Survivor Talk with Gil and Kelly is in the air. Looking forward to weekly/daily discussions. Let's do this, Gil. Oh, there's nothing better than Survivor. 3JackH3131, love the Survivor Talk. I mapped out four paths to victory this season with a smidge of difference among each, focused on home teams, playing with rest and travel advantage, primetime home teams, and a little bit of fade the 3-4 projected worst teams. Jesse Welch, great job betting the long shots. Great job, Gil, getting the long shots plug in there. Top five under-advertised podcast going. So true. You guys are the most publicized podcast in the history of podcasts. Good for you.
We have that massive banner ad that's on the Circa side screen. So almost every time you see a Circa show, it's all over it. Yeah.
Nemesis Enforcer. Love this. If you ever need a body double, Gil, I think Eric Eager is your guy. He just mentioned stats class. Freshman year at Georgetown, had an old professor that gave same final, counted for 100% of grade, and you could use notes. Oh, Georgetown. My buddy went to Georgetown. He said similar things about different classes. That's very interesting, Nemesis Enforcer. Jamie Leva, glad you're back. Interesting convo about the contest strategies with Kelly. Thoughts on multiple Survivor entries, one for season long and others for quarter prizes, etc.? I don't play for quarter. All about season. But we're talking quarter prizes. We're talking about millions, right? Not Survivor.
Right.
Millions. Yeah, no, I'm not, let's put it this way. I'm not good enough at the season long millions to even have the nerve to play, to strategize for a quarter. Let's put it that way. David Griffin on DK on DraftKings, you can parlay the tournament winner. We're talking about golf now, right? FedEx Cup versus the 72 hole bets on DK. You can parlay the tournament winner with and without starting strokes. Interesting way to play the without. If you think only a few guys could win with strokes in the tour championship, backyard driving range pro Circa rooms, showers have the best water pressure of any shower I've ever taken in my life. Highly recommend. You won't regret it.
That's huge.
That is huge.
That is huge.
Tripp Tepper. DraftKings has division with all four teams to make the playoffs, like you talked about, at 11-1. He said, I'd want to at least have 15-1 to make that bet. And then Scott Weston, winner, winner. My fantasy team is so going to be Own the Nerds. Love you guys. All great tweets about stuff we've talked about. You want to rifle through these division by division?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's go division by division. If there is a bet there, you'll let us know which you think is the best. If there isn't, that's fine. You're not required to select a bet in each, but we'll just do the grid. I want to start AFC East or NFC East here, Kelly?
We'll start AFC East. We'll start with that.
We'll put the grid up here. This is, we have to win the division, obviously conference and Super Bowl too, but mainly we have win totals and the division odds on the left side of the screen. Is there Bills, Jets, Dolphins, Patriots a best bet in any of these categories for any of these teams?
Yeah, I think championship, Super Bowl odds, if we can say it, 9-1 for Buffalo, to me are okay. I would, +120 to win the division for Buffalo is plus EV, in my opinion.
+120 Buffalo to win the AFCs. These are numbers quoted at DraftKings. AFC North, is that where we're going next? AFC North, the division that you just talked about, is you think there might be four teams going to the postseason, and what do you like here?
Yeah, when I look at this one, it's got to be, the almost 4-1, +380 for the Browns to win the division. I think that's a popular one, and I think to me it's more of an intangible thing. I'm just fading the Ravens a little bit, but I think the Browns at +380 to win that division is the best bet.
Brownies at +380 to win the division. That made a lot of Browns.
1989, the last time they won the division, and it was the AFC Central.
Was that a Kozar year?
Kozar, yeah. Kozar and Bud Carson was the coach. 2 years before Bill Belichick was
Bud
the coach.
Carson.
Yeah.
Bernie Kozar. Has there ever been a less athletic quarterback than that dude?
He had a hunched back.
Yeah.
It was a rough look.
I think that answers the question. AFC South, the Jags. At the top, of course.
It's Colts 6-1 for me. There is a path for the Colts being good. Anthony Richardson. They have one of the, I think that if I look at my numbers at sumersports.com, by the way, if you want to look at them, they have a top five easiest schedule in football, both Colts and Texans. I would not be surprised if you saw them win 9 or 10 games.
Wow. That's a bold one right there. Kelly, if you can get Kelly's number on the Jags, different story entirely.
Yes.
AFC West, where the Chiefs reign supreme. Chargers. Kelly, by the way, we left out one of Kelly's bets. Kelly, you did make a Chargers bet?
I made a Chargers bet yesterday for them to make the playoffs, just -115.
He's going to be that guy this year.
I'm going to be that guy this year. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid this year.
I was that guy last year.
I've stayed away the past 2 years. I'm the guy drinking the Kool-Aid this year.
They got to the playoffs last year. They just couldn't hold a 27-point lead. What do you like here?
I think -165 is actually short for Kansas City, and that's weird considering last year it was kind of flipped. It was like +140 to +160 or so. I think that they have just such a path with the Broncos, Chargers, and Raiders kind of beating each other up. Be that as it may, I do think this is off the board. Broncos 2-1 to make the playoffs ish in the marketplace to me is a solid play on a good
wow.
head coach. Yeah.
So a good head coach, but where do you stand on Russell Wilson? That last year was anomalous, or that's
no, I think he's
him.
Bad. But I think I think. But we had 2 years ago we had a 9-8 Saints team quarterbacked by Simeon, Winston, Book, and Hill. That was, Peyton's last year. I think he can do something. And that defense is similar to as good as how the Saints defenses were when he was taking that team to the playoffs repeatedly.
All right, to the NFC, which, of course, was the better conference when we were kids, but not even close now. The NFC East, where the Eagles are at the top and they, of course, are the short shot to get back to the Super Bowl. What do you like here in the NFC East?
Commanders over 6.5.
Let's go, baby. You're a Sam Howell guy?
I talked about in the first segment, basically, like, don't overreact to, like, the most immediate thing that happened to you. Howell is, like, the classic example of, like, he was the betting favorite to go first overall going into the 2021 season.
Yeah.
Struggles. But he had 1,100 yards rushing if you took away sacks, even in that down year for UNC. Like, I think he'll be fine. That offensive line did a good job of protecting the other night.
Well, yeah, against the Ravens backups, but
yeah,
yes.
But they did the Ravens did a lot of stunts and a lot of blitzes and everything. I think Eric Bieniemy is a plus EV kind of OC for them.
The commodes will go as far as that offensive line takes them, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yep.
NFC North, a lot of different opinions on this division this
Everything
year.
Everything Packers. 7.5, 4-1. Yesterday when I was recording a show for The Hammer, that number went from plus 403 to like plus 370, which is just like 2%. But like while we were doing the 10-minute segment or whatever, like I think that the Packers are kind of the Lions of this year. And like I apologize to everybody for how like bad the numbers are for the Lions now. If you want to bet Detroit, I think there's no more a bigger sucker play than the Lions now after we restored the heck out of the roar last
year.
Yes,
we did.
And now there's no value left in backing them anymore. But I think the Packers are turning into that team this year where a lot of people are saying, if Jordan Love just colors between the lines, this team's going to be pretty good.
I love that. You said that last week. I love that analogy. If he just colors between the lines. How's Pizzola doing, by the way? Is he calmed down after Bet Bash? Is he okay? He got a little riled up.
He was on one, yeah.
Oh, he got riled up.
Yeah.
Definitely riled up. NFC South. Saints, Falcons, Panthers, Bucks. Somebody's got to win. Something's got to give.
Yeah, Panthers 4-1 to me is the bet I like there.
Okay.
To win the division.
And then finally, the NFC West, where again, it's going to be Sam Darnold as Brock Purdy's backup with the Niners.
Yeah, I think that this is my numbers don't support this. This is just me, like, you know, kind of qualitatively. That this is a two-team race after September. And the Niners, everybody talks about the Niners and how, oh, you know, Shanahan can do it with any quarterback. That's actually not true. Like when C.J. Beathard or Nick Mullins had to play, they were bad. This team since 2015 has either won enough games to go to the NFC title game or lost 10 games. And, you know, if Purdy slash Darnold, if that thing goes pear-shaped, like the Seahawks kind of have the division. And at 2-1, I think it's a fairly solid bet.
Seahawks.
Yeah.
2-1 to win the division. Plus 195 is what we're showing at DraftKings right now. All right, before you go, and thank you again. We love having you. If you could be here every time, we'd love it. Tell everybody where your Sumer Sports show can be found, how many times a week you do it.
Yeah, so we have Sumer Sports on YouTube, Sumer Sports on Twitter. We have sumersports.com. We just put an update to our website. We have, you know, divisional odds, win totals, all that kind of stuff. We're going to have stats pages throughout the year, both offensive and defensive, get advanced stats for people to look at. And, you know, hopefully come October for the fantasy players, we're going to have a large language model fantasy bot.
Oh.
Imagine, instead of logging into Twitter and asking, no offense, Matthew Berry who to start and sit, imagine asking a computer who to start and sit.
No offense, Matthew.
Yeah. So kind of replicating that idea. So we're gonna have that on the website fairly soon for fantasy players.
Eric Eager, VP at Sumer Sports. By the way, Sumer, it occurs to me, I should probably spell it S-U-M-E-R.
That's
S-U-M-E-R
right.
On Sumer. Great seeing you, man. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks for having me.
Eric Giger, everybody, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Unscripted with the Crack Man on the other side.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get rewarded before you ever place a bet with the G-Bank Visa Signature Card. Unlike other credit cards that decline sports betting transactions or treat them as a cash advance, the G-Bank Visa Signature Card can load directly to your favorite sportsbook apps. You'll earn a 1% cash rewards on gaming and sports app loads every time and 2% on other purchases. G-Bank Visa is a card designed for gaming and sports fans everywhere and works with apps like DraftKings, BetMGM, and Caesars. To learn more, go to g.bank/VSiN. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Unscripted with the Crackman, Bill Krakenberger. By the way, we get tweets at Beating the Book. I always appreciate everybody for chiming in on the various things we talk about on the show. Mike Alvarez, owning the nerds, might have to make it into the one of those idiots that believes in analytics pantheon. Sorry, didn't know Eric's handle, so he didn't tag him. Steven Vegas, time recommendation. Don't bother watching Swamp Kings, the Florida Gators Netflix doc. We all thought Tebow, Aaron Hernandez, Urban, sex, drugs, murder, almost none of that is covered.
Yeah,
P.S.
Heard a lot of this.
Oh, is that right? Not worth it. P.S. on a separate note, I agree we all need the circus shower replicated at home. A lot of talk on the circus shower. Doug Wedge, co-sign on the showers at Circa, tremendous. Also, every room I've stayed in is very spacious and included a couch. Only place I want to stay now when I'm in Vegas. Did my Twitter profile make it obvious? Keno Walker, welcome back, Gil. Anyone have a favorite chapter in Billy Walters' Gambler? Great book. I haven't read it yet, so I can't comment.
At all.
Trevor Warwick. Oh, Trevor, I thought about this too. Thoughts on Dan Campbell, first coach fired. Long shot, but what happens if they just fall right on their face and out the gate and bad coaching decisions lead to those losses? He's not on the hot seat? I agree with you. I thought about it before I pulled the trigger on Eberflus.
I think that's completely possible. Just because how many years do we have to go back to find this kind of pressure on the Lions heading into a season, right?
Oh, I can't even name you a year. Chance Copperpot points out I was wrong. I said no real betting implications on Otani. But, of course, those who have the home run prop, who will have the most home runs, of course. It's been so kind to me. Bummed out that he's done for the season. He's got Ohtani for the most home runs, and right now, the major league home run sort of leaderboard, if you will, Shohei with 44, Matt Olson with 43, Pete Alonso four back in third place. By the way, Aaron Judge with a 3-home run game. He ends with that 3-home run game yesterday. He's in the top 5 in the American League in home runs all of a sudden just with that game.
Jeez.
Yesterday. But Shohei's got a one home run lead over Matt Olson. Always appreciate the tweets. Oh, Scott, New York Mets 16, says, just marked off the Fugazi square on my long shot bingo card. Just need a Fakakta for the win. All right, well, stick around. Maybe we'll get to Fakakta. Survivor, you ended up going 10 or you end up going 10 each way like three different times or something.
Yeah, I'm going to have, I guess we're going to talk about this on this show we're filming.
We are filming a show, yes. Yeah. Well, yeah. Not us. We are part of a show.
We're part of a show.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, so what's going on down there? I'm sorry, I don't know either.
I don't know either.
Oh, you don't know? Because I heard Kelly just say something about like a radio row
Yeah. Eager was telling us. Interesting. Circa, they have a panel.
Uh-huh.
Which bunch of stuff going Eric on for Eager's the contest sign-up weekend.
Contest sign-up weekend.
Yeah. But then they have a radio row.
The next 3 days, today, tomorrow, the next day?
Yeah, I think the next, yeah.
Tomorrow.
Today, tomorrow,
Saturday. So that's probably they want us down there filming some stuff then.
Filming some stuff about Good. Survivor. We are part of it. We're not behind this. We're just part of this. Talk about Survivor. I was talking about the beginning of the show. So yesterday was the day I went in to get my millions. I only got one entry in millions. And my question to myself was, how many Survivor entries would I get? Last year when there was a maximum of 6, I ended up with 5. And I thought I was, I was like, oh, well, there's 10 this year. I'll get close to 10.
All you?
All me. And then in the end, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get 5 again. And here's why. I feel as though, and I'll just at the risk of repeating myself for those who missed it, I feel as though with Survivor that there is a useless redundancy at some point, if that makes sense. So in other words, yes, do we all want to have multiple entries available to us at Thanksgiving rather than having one left? Sure. But I believe that's a byproduct of how you play the game, not starting with a million entries. In other words, I feel there's too many weeks in between week one and Thanksgiving.
Right.
Sure. Is one person or two people in that entire, this is what happens every year. Does it end up where there's, two guys or three guys that have multiple entries at Thanksgiving? Yes. But the other thousands that started out with 30 don't.
Right.
They're either out or they have one, if they're lucky. So I guess my point is that it's a useless redundancy. I don't feel like there's an optimal way to play that many. I say this all the time. I go, the only one you play optimally is your last one, is the one. Everything else is creativity. And your creativity might be fortunate, but chances are we're all going to end up with the same in the end. So ergo, why am I going to go all in at the beginning anyway when I'm just doubling what I was going to do anyway? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, you don't have to answer this on air.
Yeah.
I'd love to partake with you and get 5 more with you, and we split all 10, or we just do something. You take a piece of the other 5 or something, because my 5 are going to be based on two other guys, which I'm not going to mention on air. I'll ask them first, and I'll mention it again next week. Is based on their picks, what they think is good, and also my input also. So that's, it's hard to find someone. You know, my friend last year, I told you, remember, he came in like 50th last year.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, I'm giving you 20,000. I need you to get 20 entries. It's not that easy to find someone to trust with $2 million if you split.
This was millions you're talking about.
No, this is actually, he wants 20 Survivor entries.
Yeah.
I was like, it's not easy to find someone.
Oh, that's right. We had this conversation last year where if he won, remember?
Yeah, how much would I get?
How much would you get?
I'm not taking a piece. He's like, take any piece you want. No. It's not discussed yet, but I'll be real blunt. No, I'm not taking any piece I want. I just, when we win, I'll let you know how much I'm taking.
What, and that number that you said last year, do you remember what number that was?
I don't know, a third.
You said a million.
Oh, a million for.
And you had nothing to do with the picks.
A third's more. To do with the picks at all.
Which I said to you was a little much. I thought that was a little much.
We'll negotiate. It's a good starting point, a million.
A good starting point.
Yeah, we can negotiate.
A million.
But, he doesn't realize how hard it is to do that, though. To I'm going to give you 20 picks, and Yeah, you have to trust somebody.
Sure.
If they went, you know, so
of course.
So I need as many honest people around me as I can get. That, you know, so maybe we'll talk about it off air or something.
I'd love to do one of these, but all it's going to do is confuse me more.
It is?
I'm just going to have more things, or I'm just going to duplicate what I'm doing.
Oh, okay.
Basically on your five. So that's the problem with that.
Oh,
right?
I don't want you to do that.
No, so that's what I mean. Like, I don't want to have.
You don't want no other opinions?
It's not about no other opinions.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to. It's the same reason why I'm not getting 10, right?
Right.
I don't want to have to do it that many ways.
Okay.
Because I don't.
See, I'm one that would say, I would say, wow, I have three guys, two of them are contest pros, won a lot of money in contests.
Yeah.
And now they want to be part of my entries?
Yeah.
Hmm.
No, I mean no offense by it. I hope people understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm smarter than them.
Yeah.
What I'm saying
you have a lot of money.
I'm saying is the experience is going to be polluted even more for me. Where it's like, oh no, this is too much to think about.
Sounds like the answer is no. Okay,
let's
get
like
to the bottom line.
But do you understand why?
Probably not.
Oh, come on.
But it's okay.
Probably not.
No, it's okay.
Probably
I'm going to get Joe this slot machine tech over there and see if I can
He's
going to
crush. And you're going to get your million from him. Good luck.
No, it's all good. I understand. This show is actually going to be very hard to film because
it is.
People
it
have
is. Great
really,
point.
I'll tell you. Like, Steven sent me an email. He goes, "Crack, do you have any ideas for the show?" And I said, I told him one of which was you and I. I said, listen, Gil and I last year had some great conversations, last year about Survivor. Because this film, some
so
of the episodes of the show, some pieces are just get some pieces off of, I know it's on YouTube, you know, get some pieces off YouTube. But there's also other things that I said to him, you know, it's not as easy. It's not as easy. I gave him... Some great ideas that I wrote up to him. I wrote like six paragraphs. I said when we filmed action, I'll read it to you. When we filmed action, one thing I thought was really successful was getting video footage of the average Joe in the sports book on a Sunday. I thought it was so cool, the beginning of every episode.
They did such a great job with
that. It's amazing the range of emotions that people go through and how people are betting with their hearts. More importantly, they're overbetting. And then I said, listen, but then again, you know, if it wasn't for guys overbetting parlays and teasers, there wouldn't be room for guys like me to take out a little, you know, chunk of money. And so that I thought you have to be relatable to the public on something that you're consuming at home. You want to be relatable. You want someone to say, wow, yeah, that happens. You want to be relatable to the public. It's very important. And I said some of our Thursday conversations between Gil and I about Survivor was a great filming opportunity. You know, that's all. When you Sundays, is your focus first on your Survivor teams?
Yes. I say it all the time.
It is.
I say, here's the thing.
Weekly bets.
What Survivor has done, contests in general, like, so if you talk to the Las Vegas Chris's of the world, or Selena says their contest picks matter more than any bets to them. But Survivor has, it is amazing. Like, if I took truth, I don't have to take truth serum. This is the truth. I'd be lying to you if I said I think about the bets more. I think way more about the Survivor play than anything.
You? No.
I do, 100%.
No. I put more stock in my weekly bets.
Okay. Week 12, week 12, let me get back to you.
Now, that's different.
Yeah.
Yes, obviously. Later it goes in. Yeah, sure. Yeah. You're right. Hope to be in at week 12.
Poked a hole in that one. More with the Crack Man next.